Thank you, choir, for that call to worship. And we're going to continue to worship the Lord and set our minds on His greatness and what He's doing to further His kingdom and glorify His name. And that's what we're about this morning, and that's what we're going to hear about in a little bit as well. So my name is Kelly O'Rear. I'm the discipleship pastor here. I want to welcome you that are with us this morning, and visitors, we're glad to have you with us. Thanks to those that are watching online and even watching overseas this morning. So we welcome you into this experience. Pastor Adam and Kelly are making their way back from Minnesota. And as many of you know, Adam led the memorial service for Kelly's father yesterday, and they're getting Kelly's mom settled in up there. So they'll be on their way back, and he'll be back with us next week. Jency, our Hispanic pastor, Jency Pimentel, will be introducing our guest speaker this morning, and we're pretty excited about that and hearing what they have to share with us. Just as a grace highlight, and I think there'll be some pictures up here, let me read you what Sandy Grimacki, our children's ministry director, sent me yesterday. We had an amazing time, she says, with our special needs training yesterday afternoon. Donna Patrick and Cheryl Winget led this fantastic training. 25 people from Grace and 10 or 11 folks from Concord were pumped full of information, practical applications, encouragement, and ideas. Many of these things we will be able to implement in the next days and weeks to continue to support our whole church family. So she wants you to be thanked and to say thank you for all that attended and supported and prayed for that. Even the picture here with Sandy, you're like, oh, what is Sandy must have really had a restful time there. That's actually a tool that we're going to be using in the ministry for kids with sensory issues. And so we're going to be using a tool like that in our ministry. So what a neat opportunity. And I think this is just the beginning of us being able to minister to families in a special way. Let's prepare our hearts now to continue in worship, thinking, meditating, singing, praising God for His greatness. Lord, thank You for the gathered church. Lord, there are things that we're going to experience of You and know and hear and have our hearts stirred as we gather here together that cannot happen when we're alone in our quiet time. This is an aspect. This is a part. This is the way that You disciple and grow us and sanctify us. And so I pray Your blessings on this morning, on this gathering, on the time of praise, on the opening of Your word, on the celebration of what You're doing to further Your glory in other places. So Lord, help us to quiet our hearts. Give us a supernatural grace to set aside the distractions. And Lord, may we not be just singing words, but may our mind and our hearts be engaged as we open our lips and our mouths express Your praise. For Your glory and for our joy, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kelly. Would you stand with me again as we continue our time of worship together, singing, "Let the Nations Be Glad."
We have been saved.
But oftentimes we either forget it or neglect it, that you are everything we need. Christ is all. Nothing else matters because you give and take those things away as well. So we're thankful that we can trust you and depend upon you for our every need, for Christ is enough. So we thank you for that, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. This song is it's been true for me this week. I've been struggling a couple of things, but that remind to us, myself, how God is everything we need. My name is Jency Pimentel. I'm the Hispanic pastor of Grace en Español. I'm blessed to be part of the church and be part of the church that love mission and love the nations. As many of you know, I'm from Dominican Republic, and I was born there. And although I love to be in here, I love to work in the Hispanic community here in Chattanooga, but my heart is part of my heart is still in the Dominican Republic. And every time that I have the chance to go back, every time that I have the chance to be with my people in my country, I enjoy. And this morning, I'm here to introduce to you the guest, our guest speaker, Roy Seal, and also to share a little bit about my recent mission trip that we both went to the DR a couple weeks ago. Many of you may know Roy Seals. He's the director of Global Faith Mission Agency, which is in here in Chattanooga. He grew up in the mission field in Mexico, so he speaks Spanish really good. I would say probably better than me. he speaks Spanish like a real, real Mexico. Mexican, un puro, a pure Mexican. He also knows a mission in Hispanic ministry. He's been a huge help for me here as I've been working with the Hispanic community in Chattanooga. I would say he's the real deal. Not only does he continue to serve in the world, but very involved in the Hispanic community here in Chattanooga and in different parts here in the state. A few months ago, Roy invited me to go on a mission field, a mission trip with him to Dominican Republic to visit a medical clinic in the DR. And when he asked me to go there, I struggled, you know, to say yes, yeah, going back to my country, of course. It was a huge blessing for me going back and be with Roy. It is really cool ministry, impacting their community with the gospel. But the really amazing thing to me is how God has been orchestrating all this behind the scene. The doctor in charge of the ministry is a lady named Millie Fernandez. And I have actually known her since we were teenagers. She was part of the youth group and later the secretary of our church in San Pedro de Macorís, where Gary and Ali Hill working in the Dominican Republic. Now, all these years later, God crossed our path again, and I was able to see how he has been at work in her life. Millie is a person that loves God and loves people. And even though she could be making a lot of money working for a private hospital, instead she decided to serve and dedicate her time and her life to serve the community alongside with her husband, who is a pastor there. Pastor Adam and I, we were talking for a while now, how can we better connect with the Latin American ministry across the world. Since we, as a church, we have our focus to this community as a church. I'm very excited about the possibility of partnering together with this ministry as a church moving forward. And I'm thankful this morning, so you're here to hear Roy preaching, but also share a little bit more how can we be partnering, how can we serve with this ministry. I'm really excited about how can we as a church can connect with the Dominican Republic, which many of you haven't been in Dominican, They have a great ministry there. It's in a different place that Gary and Ali are, but they're working together also. So I'm gonna ask Roy Seals que nos traiga, nos predique la palabra. Yo voy a orar. I'm gonna pray for him. What I'm gonna do, you can come up. What I'm gonna do in Spanish, he's gonna understand what I'm gonna say. The Lord gonna understand, you figure it out, okay? So I'm gonna pray in Spanish and Roy can preach. Dios, gracias por esta hermosa mañana. Gracias por darnos el privilegio de reunirnos en este lugar. Gracias, Señor, por la vida de Roy Seals y su ministerio en la comunidad hispana aquí en Chattanooga, pero también, Dios, su amor por las misiones. Esta mañana, Dios, pedimos que tú dirija, aclare su pensamiento en la manera en que él comunica el mensaje de tu palabra. En el nombre de Jesús, we pray, amen.
Amen. Hey, he did say amen in English, all right? The rest of that prayer was in Spanish, but the amen was in English. Would you open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20? We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 31 for just a few moments. It is a blessing to be with you here again at Grace Baptist Church. My wife Edie is seated in the back. Many of you know her, and she's a vital part of the ministry that we are involved with. I am thrilled to be here. The last time I spoke in the English church was in one of your Missions Emphasis conferences 2 or 3 years ago. In the Spanish church, I speak with some frequency, and I've been able to assist in the Spanish church that you have through the years as you've gone, as the Spanish ministry has gone through various stages of transition. And now that Brother Yancy is here, they don't need me as much. So I think I'm a forgotten person back there. But I'll be speaking the same message in Spanish to them. So if you want to check it out and make sure it's accurate, you can go back and stay in the Spanish service and go with us there in a few minutes and just see if I'm preaching the same thing and if I check it out all right. It's good to know that you have a heart for the community and that you are reaching out to the ethnic groups that are around us. Many of you know that Edie and I are part of another Spanish church here in town. In fact, I'll be preaching there and just shortly after I'm through with the Spanish church here and be over there. Right across the street from where we are, there's a Presbyterian Korean church. And then a third of the mile down the road, a couple of years ago, they opened up a Hindu temple. So we are a very diverse population now in Chattanooga as far as ethnic groups are concerned. Yesterday I was at a grandchild's soccer game, and one of the friends I've met over the last few months of watching kids, they say they're playing soccer. Everybody runs to the ball when you're 5 and 6 years old. That's what they do. It's a stretch to call it soccer. But anyway, I've met some new friends and a couple there that have been here for many years from Bosnia. And then there's a child that plays on my granddaughter's team, and they're from India. And so our community becomes more and more diverse. Politics aside, it has no room in the pulpit. It's the scriptures. The pulpit is for the preaching of God's word. Politics aside, we have a command to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have an opportunity to reach a multi-ethnic people here in our community. We have an international community here. So I'm so glad that you have the vision for having your Spanish ministry. And may God bless you as you continue to be involved in that. Yancy is doing a fabulous job. I've been able to get to know him now for the few years, and he and his wife are doing a phenomenal job. You know Diane, I guess all of you know her, but I'm going to tell you her Spanish is absolutely phenomenal, and she does a wonderful job. Here a few months ago, she was doing the translation for the Dare for More ministry, and I mean, she just knocked a home run. She is good. So you folks don't need me anymore around here for your Spanish ministry, and it'll be a few years maybe before I'm there with you. I want you to look at the scriptures this morning, and my message today will be a little different than what I normally do, because not only will we bring out a couple of things from God's word, but we want to talk about the ministry, and I've been asked to present to you this ministry in the Dominican that Pastor Yancy has talked to us about. In the 29th verse of Matthew chapter 20, we have the last incident that is occurring in the Gospel of Matthew before we have the triumphal entry. And as they went out of Jericho, Jesus and those who were following him, his disciples, and now a great throng of people are traveling to Jerusalem. A great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The word mercy is a word that we desperately need in our time, in our culture, in our society. The crowd rebuked them. I mean, think about that for a moment. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity or with compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight. I love the last phrase, "and they followed him." The next thing we have after this is the triumphal entry in the Gospel of Mark. And as Jesus is coming to the end of this very important part of his 3-year ministry, we find one more time that he's involved in a ministry or an act of service. And this is an appropriate example for us as a church, that never is there a time when we should quit serving God and serving others. The word service should be a vital part of our church reputation and our testimony. And if the church is to have the reputation and testimony of serving God and serving others, then it's because the Christians who are believers, the membership, the constituency of the church, will be practicing this matter of service. We know in our culture, in our society, people don't want to serve. They want to be at the top of whatever they're involved with. But God puts a premium on having a servant's heart. And so as he's going on into chapter 21, and now the triumphal entry in this last week in the life of Christ, as he gives his life in sacrifice for our redemption, he stops and he serves. Well, there's three things that we find here. First of all, there's very obvious that there is a need. We don't have to spell that out for you. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. Now, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke also talk about this story right here. And in those two Gospels, you'll find that there are two people that are mentioned. And here we have the emphasis on one of those people. They were seated by the roadside. In Mark and in Luke, we are told that Bartimaeus is a beggar. As a blind man, there was not a whole lot he could do as far as productivity was concerned, and so he made a living by begging. I grew up in a foreign country. I grew up in Latin America, and I remember seeing beggars from the time I was a child, and I wondered growing up on the mission field, how do these people beg and people give them money? And I hate to tell you this, but when I was a kid, my parents were in language school. I convinced my brother one day that we should go out and try begging, because all you do is sit there and ask for money and people give you money. And we learned the phrase, "Por favor, por el amor de Dios, ten piedad, una caridad." Please, for the love of God, show us some charity. I'd seen it happen many times in the markets and the plazas where we're going as a kid, and it worked. They got money. So I told my brother David, I said, "We're going begging today." He said, "Why?" I said, "Just believe me, we're going to make a lot of money today." We put on the worst clothes we had. I got out in the Costa Rican dirt, which is very rich and black, smeared it on my face. He said, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "We got to look like we need it." So I did the same for him. We went to the neighbor's house, and that was my first mistake. They knew us. I knocked on the door. I heard the people coming, and I said, "Por favor, por el amor de Dios, una caridad. Please, for the love of God, give me some charity." They knew we were the neighbors. They just laughed, closed the door, and didn't give us a peso. And my brother said, "I thought we were getting money." And we tried it again and again and again. We didn't get any money that day. I finally understood why. Well, for one reason, the neighbors told my parents when they got home from language school what we're doing. I was disciplined the old-fashioned way. It's called a spanking. I didn't get any money. I got a spanking out of that. I said, "Well, people are doing it all the time." And he said, "Son, they have real needs." And here is an example of a man that had a need. There was no place that would employ him, and begging was the way he would get some money. There was a real need in his life. There was a physical need. physical blindness, but he also exemplifies the great need in our society today. There's a spiritual need, and there's a spiritual blindness. Chattanooga, Tennessee, part of what we have called for decades now the Bible Belt, is a place where there's a lot of spiritual blindness. There are young people in our city, in our community, in our county, in our state, that the only time they hear the name of God mentioned is when it's used in cursing and swearing. They don't know anything about God, but they need to know about God. And that's where we come into play. That's where the church comes into play. When there's a need, there's obviously a need for somebody to do something. I want to go ahead, Jonathan, and put up my next slide, if you will. And this is Millie. You saw her just a moment ago in the slide that Yancey showed us. And Yancey is the wife of Pastor Edwin. We'll talk about them in just a moment. She's at the Clinica Mini Pevi, a clinic that she started 9 years ago. This lady has one of the greatest servant hearts I've ever met in my life. She loves God, but she is a servant. She doesn't get paid a dime for doing what she was doing right now. It was in April when Yancey and I went down, and by the way, it wasn't hard to convince him to go. I said, would you like to go to the domain? He said, yes. He said, in fact, he didn't say yes. He said, sí, claro que sí, llévame, por favor. And so I didn't even get Dominican Republic out, and he was on board with this. He got angry at me because last year I went to the Dominican Republic, and when I got back, the first message I get from him, why didn't you invite me to go? And so I didn't make that mistake this year. But it was a wonderful time for us to minister together, and he truly is at home when he's down there. Go ahead and put the next slide on, if you would, for me. Millie is the result of missionary work through the ministry of the Hodges and Gary and Alan, and she is a product of that ministry, and just a wonderful, wonderful person. And her husband, Edwin, is also the product of missionary endeavor from years ago. And I met Edwin and Millie years ago when they were engaged to be married. And over the years, I've been able to see them as they've progressed in their ministry. Edwin is an outstanding pastor. He is doing a phenomenal job. The missionary that started the church is no longer there. He returned to the United States to pastor for a few years, and then he's moved on. But Edwin is pastoring this church. There are three full-time men on the pastoral staff of the church, and then there's another employee there that does the secretarial and administrative work. And Edwin is a phenomenal pastor, very mature beyond his years. They have two daughters. One is, I think, Yancey, 13, and the other daughter is 10 or 11, somewhere around there. They're fine young ladies. And he pastors the Iglesia Bautista Vida Nueva, New Life Baptist Church. The church is doing great. The church does not need our financial help and aid. They're doing fine. They are just doing a great, great job. Dr. Millie, as I call her, is in charge of the pediatric division of a government hospital in Santiago, the Dominican Republic. 9 years ago, the Lord put it on her heart to start a clinic for the underprivileged that did not have the financial resources that they needed to go to the better hospitals. And so, already a busy person, a pastor's wife, the head of pediatrics in her hospital, she started a little faith-based nonprofit clinic. And she's been doing this for 9 years. She works her job at the hospital, but this clinic operates 2 days a week, and then through the year, there are special events where they reach out to the community. It is not a mobile clinic, it is a stationary clinic. It has a set place where it works. Millie started Mini Pevi not because she wanted to get richer. She started Mini Pevi because there was a need, as we've seen in the scriptures here. And she realized that she had the skill set. She had the preparation to do that. She's not a rich person, but she has a lot of faith, which accomplishes a lot. We sang about that though already this morning. My God can do a whole lot of things, can't he? When we have faith in God, he can move the mountains. So Millie started this clinic, like Clinica Minipevi. And through the years, they've been reaching out to those who need to hear about Jesus Christ, because it's not only the physical part, it's the spiritual part that is the real backbone of what this ministry is all about. What can these type of ministries do? Years ago, those of you who know me know that Edie and I have been involved in missions for 46 years. I spent 25 years with Baptist International Missions Incorporated, and now for the last little over 20 years, I've been with Global Faith Mission Agency. When I was with BIMI and working with Bob Dayton in the area of Central America, Edie and I spent several years as resident missionaries on the field, and then were working out of the headquarters. But one of the missionaries I had met with BIMI when I was a kid was Charlie Harrington. Charlie and Carolyn Harrington were operating in Honduras, doing a phenomenal work. Charlie started many churches, a Bible institute to prepare the Honduran pastors. And one day he was up in the mountains of Honduras in a remote village. And as he was visiting and ministering to the people there, he was led into a little poor house where a woman was dying of cancer. And there was no clinic, no hospital in that village, and she had nothing. There was no painkillers, there was no medicine, there was absolutely nothing to help relieve the agony and the pain of that woman as she was in her last stages of life. Charlie went out to his Jeep and got the only medication he had, which was not, it was just painkillers. He got Tylenol, and he carried a little kit with him when he went to the mountains, and he went back in and gave that, and couldn't get over the fact that there was a woman that was dying with nothing to help her in her agony and her pain. Well, they were on furlough in Mississippi, and he was sitting in a dentist chair and began to share with the dentist what he wanted to do. He said, I want to take some medical personnel to these remote villages where the government is not reaching out to the people. And the dentist said, I'll go, just like that. It was not a planned thing, it was a God thing. And the dentist said, sign me up. A little bit later, when he was back on the field, he received his first medical team. And from that, they grew to the point where they were having 27 medical teams a year go down to Honduras. The ministry became phenomenal. Charlie himself passed away while he was ministering in the mountains of Honduras. Carolyn Harrington took over the leadership of the medical ministry and led that thing to a phenomenal ministry. They later spun off and have their own international medical ministry now. But the thing got so big that as they had these 27 teams a year going down, they were reaching many people, and it got so big that every year when they would have their board meetings in Petal, Mississippi, and they would have the first wife of the president, the first lady of the president, the wife, I'm trying to say it in English. How do you say it? The wife of the president, the first lady of the country of Honduras, that's who she was. She would come up every year to Petal, Mississippi, little old town in Mississippi, for the board meeting, because their ministry was impacting that country so much. What I'm saying is that everything starts small, but God can take it far beyond what we ever thought or dreamed of. Millie is doing a phenomenal job in reaching out to the community. Edwin is doing a phenomenal job in pastoring, and she is a pastor's wife. She's one of the busiest ladies I've ever seen in my life. And that church helps that clinic out. They help push it along. But there still remains a need. There's another thing that we see in this village here. There was a plea from these two blind men. They were crying out to Jesus when they heard that he was passing by. They couldn't see him because they were blind themselves. But they heard he was passing by. They had heard of him. They had never been this close to him, it seems. And so they're crying out desperately, oh Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Have mercy on us. And in that phrase, son of David, they recognize him as the promised Messiah. There is a need. The interesting thing that happens here in this story, that there's two groups of people. In the passage of scripture that we see in here and Mark and Luke, the people tried to stop these men from crying out. When they were crying out, Lord, have mercy on us, the Bible says in verse 31, the crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. So in this great crowd now that's following Jesus, and a lot of religious people following Jesus, they were aggravated. it bothered them that there was this man, these men crying for help. They told them to be quiet. Don't interrupt what we're doing. The Lord is busy. So there were those that hindered. But then when you read the Gospel of Mark and read the same story, we find that there were those that helped. The Bible says in Mark 10:49 with this same story that Jesus stopped and said, call him. And then the Bible says, and they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. They was another part of the crowd. So there were those that hindered, and then there were those that helped. Now I'm not sure what crowd you want to be in today, but I want to tell you, as we do the Lord's work, there's a great need for us to be in the crowd that helps. There's plenty of people that hinder, even religious people. And it's up to us to make a decision if we're going to help. I want to notice you to notice that there is the third thing. There was a response. In verses 32 and 34, Jesus stopped and he said, what do you want me to do for you? You say, well, why would Jesus ask that? It's very obvious. But he needed them to address their need. The Bible says that Jesus, in pity or with compassion, touched their eyes, and he reacted and he responded. It's so easy in our life to get busy with our busyness, whatever's around us, to the point we get to the place in our life where we're not aware of the needs that are all around us. And God help us not to be in that place. God help us not to be insensitive to the needs of those around us. One of the problems we have in our society, in our culture today, is that we have so many scams that are going on that we become disheartened by that, and it makes us get to the point, if we're not careful, that we no longer are responsive to the real needs. There's a word that we often use, and it's called the word discernment, and that's where we're going to have to let the Holy Spirit give us discernment as to what is it we need to focus on, what we need to react to, what we need to respond to. May God always give us that discernment. What we're saying here is that there is a clinic that is doing a fantastic job. There's a need. Millie is in that group of people that help. And now there's a need for a greater response. Go ahead and put some, I think there's another slide here for me. And I want you to see this for just a minute. Millie started this out as a pediatric clinic. It is now a pediatric clinic, and they also will treat older teenagers and adults. They have a lot of senior citizens that come to them now. This was her very first patient, this lady right here. I took this picture when I was down in April, when Yancy and I were down there. And she came in, and every week she goes to the clinic. She lives in that community, the poor community, and she wants to see the person that first treated her. Millie started this to be a pediatric clinic, but her very first patient was an older person. And instead of turning her away and saying, oh no, this is just for children, she treated her, and I think that lady, if they had frequent flyer memberships or cards for somebody that goes to the same clinic all the time, she would have hers by now. Just a dear lady that lives right close to that clinic. Go to the next slide for me, if you will, Jonathan. When I was there in April, Millie, we all came to the clinic, and Millie said, Hermano Roy, she said, what I do here is the community needs to see me walking around. They know that the clinic is open, so that's just the way it goes. And so she said, I'm going out. Would you want to go with me? And let's let the people know we're here. So we started walking down the street. Before we got to this point where I took this picture right here, the lady in the red shirt had come to the clinic. She was waiting for Millie when we got there. And she had an ailment. Millie went ahead and took care of her and gave her some medicine. They do not charge. This is there's no charge for going to this clinic. It's a ministry for those who are underprivileged. But she lives right down this road in these little houses, little one-room houses that used to be sticks. Now some of them have concrete blocks, tin roof. And as we walked down the street, this lady who had been at the clinic when we got there, and now we were walking down to let people know that the clinic was open, she came out of her house. And I don't know if you can see it very well, but if you look at Millie in the blue there, she's holding something that's wrapped up in blue paper, and it was a jar of beans. They eat a lot of beans down there. We call them in Mexico frijoles, they call them habichuelas. And she'd gone home after seeing Millie and took out of the pot of beans that was on her little fire that she was cooking in the back of the house. And she had this little jar that she had saved and put beans in that and wrapped it up. And when we came out, I watched the interaction between this poor woman as she went up and gave what she had. We go to the doctors, and there's an insurance card we flash out, or a credit card. She had a jar of beans. That was it. And that's why Millie's there. She took those beans with her, and the lady hugged her and gave her many, many words of gratitude for what she's doing for her and the community. The clinic is small. It doesn't look anything like the clinics that we have here because there are needs. Let me tell you a few things before I finish. There's a need for medication. That's the most expensive thing. There is a tremendous, tremendous need for medication. For that, there are financial needs, because the only way we have of securing the medications are through purchases. They're able to get a good deal through some connections they have with the government facilities, but still, it costs money. And so there's a great need for financial aid. Twice a year, Millie and Edwin, they rally the troops from church around them, and they have 2 to 3 times a year special events where they have these big, like a block party for all the little kids that are being that come there, and their patients and their parents come out. They also share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a need for help with these matters too. We need you to pray for them. This is a ministry that is going on in spite of the fact that they have very little help. Right now, at this moment, we recognize Minipevi as a project ministry with Global Faith Mission Agency. We have 2 donors that give to that clinic. And there's an urgent need, there's a desperate need for more aid. When I was there, Millie said, Hermano Roy, I was asking her, I said, be specific. What about your need? She said, well, Hermano Roy, I told the Lord that I was not going to beg for money. I was just going to tell the Lord, tell him what I need. And I said, well, I'm not the Lord, but I'm begging you to be specific with me right now, because the only way I can help you is if you can be specific. And it took a little bit for her to get over that hurdle to where she did that. I'm here to tell you today that Yancy did a phenomenal job when he was down there. He was with his people. He's in his element when he's down there. Oh, is he ever so good. There's a tremendous need, folks. There's a need, there's a plea, and there needs to be a response. So as we've shared this simply with you today in a way that's probably not the normal fashion in which you have a message, I'd like for you to ask the Lord to bless and provide for Clinica Minipevi. Lord, we are so thankful today for people like Millie, this wonderful lady who serves you and has given her life to serve you. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. You've been good to us. We live in a country where it's so easy to complain about the failures we see in the system around us, but all it takes is one trip to someplace like this to remember that we are indeed blessed with what you've provided for us. Help us to be thankful, and help us to be like those that helped these two men so that they could cry out to Jesus. Bless this church. We thank you, Lord, for their mission heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Roy. We appreciate his attention to the word and applying it to situations that we can be involved in. I hadn't planned to really say anything, but I know that we as staff, obviously we were encouraging Jency to make that trip and give us an update of what he found and what he saw. We were able to, as a staff and deacons, we approved him taking some money down to buy some initial, or continue to bring in some medical supplies for them. And so he did that while he was there. But I just want to assure you that Roy said that we want to be in the crowd that helps, not hinders. And so we as Grace want to try to see what God has for us in the future and being a part of this medical ministry, and just assure you that we're praying as leadership to see how we can be involved most effectively. So would you pray with us about that as well? We've had a long ministry with the Dominican Republic, and have been involved with the leadership there with the Hodges and the Hales and other ministries. So we want to continue that. It seems like a just ripe fruit, right? It's there for us to help. So we want to do that, but we want you to pray with us about that. Would you stand with me as we sing a closing song of just a commitment, a dedication of Be Thou My Vision? Sing with me.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not me, all else to thee save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
Appreciate you being here. Roy's been a great friend to our church over the years, and thank you for your ministry amongst us and also helping us see different things that we can be involved in. And I will add that should you be desiring to help out with the ministry in the Dominican Republic, you can designate that gift, and as you turn that in, just mark DR Project, DR Project, and we will make sure it gets to the right place for that. So. I'm Mike Swanson, the executive pastor here at Grace. I just have a few announcements, and then I'm going to let you go. We have our fellowship time in the back, straight out this center aisle, all the way into the back fellowship hall. And we hope you will enjoy the time there and join us there. But first of all, we are wrapping up our evening activities on Sunday evenings for summer break. Except for one final event that will take place tonight at 6 p.m. There will be a dinner for all the Awana Clubbers and their families, and afterwards there will be an awards ceremony. And this is things that the kids have been working on all year long. We're going to recognize all their hard work and have that awards ceremony tonight. But it'll be preceded by, I think, some sumptuous hot dogs. And that'll be for those kids and their families in the fellowship hall tonight, again at 6 p.m. Next week, we're going to recognize and honor five people that have been longtime members here at Grace Baptist Church who have also served as faculty over at Grace Academy. And we're excited to see what God's doing in their lives. And we're really excited to be able to recognize them and honor them next week. We'll have a little bit of a different fellowship time right after the morning service to help us in honoring them. But please be here if you can and join us as we thank them for their service, both in Grace Baptist Church and Grace Academy. And then finally, coming up in just a couple weeks, the Alaska team will be heading out for their ministry this summer. They leave on June 2nd, and we want to have a time of prayer for them next week, and want you to join us as we do that. There still are some financial needs. I know many of the participants have been doing work projects and doing various things to help raise funds to help them pay for this trip this summer. And there's still a little bit of a need there. So if you're interested in helping out with that, you can make a gift and just designate it as an Alaska trip 2024. Or there's an opportunity online to do that as well. And I think that that is all the announcements that I have. So with that, I'm going to dismiss you to the fellowship time and then to the discipleship classes. Thank you.